Quarterfinals in the high school football playoffs, and five teams that won Super Bowls taking the next step. And of course, the goal is to be at the Dome out in Syracuse that first weekend in December. Pat Lilac joins us here, the head coach of Glens Falls, joins us on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Coach Lilac, how are you?
Roger and Michael, I'm a big fan of the show, and I'm really excited to get on the air with you guys.
Well, happy to be
Thanks a lot, coach.
Have you on, my friend, and it's been fun. I have not seen your team in person, but we've run a ton of highlights all year on our late news on our Friday recaps. And man, what a year you've had here, Coach Lilac. Did you see this one in the making?
You know, this is one of those years where it's really fun to be a coach because, you know, we graduated our whole hoop group and, you know, everything that they had contributed to our football team was great and all. So with those guys graduating, we kind of flew under the radar with people thinking that maybe we would drop a little bit, but really inside our program, we thought we were going to be pretty good again. So when you come in, when you think you're going to be good, but there's not all that pressure and expectations on you, that's a recipe for a really fun year to coach.
Yeah, I mean, you've been outstanding right from the get-go, and a lot of playmakers. Is that what I'm seeing on this team? A lot of guys that you can throw the ball to, run the ball. I mean, you got playmakers on that offense.
Yeah, we had a really good tailback last year in Jordan Baker, who came back for a senior year, and a couple of receivers who came up from JV, and another kid who was kind of a backup last year. But I think the big thing was Chase McTagg, who we switched from slot back to quarterback. As a freshman and sophomore, he played slot back for us, and especially last year, he made some plays where we were like, whoa, in some punt returns that were kind of electric. And I think, you know, everybody within our crew kind of knew that he could be a special quarterback, and he's been everything that we had hoped for with his legs and his arms this year, which has really sparked everything that we do.
Well, and it all starts at that QB spot. But so he was a slot receiver, and you moved him to quarterback, and it's been outstanding.
Yeah, it really has. And, you know, Braden Bennett is a kid that we used as kind of our H-back last year, and he did a lot of blocking for us. He really grew physically, so we gave him a bigger role offensively as well. He's played tight end for us and made big play after big play, and he's also, like, he's really an animal on defense. He's just all over the place, and kind of everything we do, offense, defense, and special teams, is based around his ability to do different things.
Well, I thought I mistakenly thought that the Averill Park would at least be able to hang in there with you, but man, that score was 47-7. And am I correct? And Bennett, he scored like not about 90 seconds into that game.
Yeah, you know, we had a intentional grounding call. We ended up in like a 3rd and 20 right on that first drive, and the McTagg kid made a really good read. Bennett wasn't the priority receiver on the route, and he just broke free and he found him, and so that was a great start. Then Bennett blocked the punt on their first possession, and we were right down there to score again. So we got lucky a little bit right off the beginning of that game, and we were able to jump out to an early lead and kind of hang on from there.
Yeah, you didn't take your foot off the gas with you scored, I think, 3 times in the third quarter, and Mateg had the touchdown pass to was it Canale?
Yeah, Sam Canale.
Yeah,
a nice play, a 4th down play.
But the kid that shows up on the highlights, Pat, when we send a camera out, seems to be Baker. He seems to be the guy that is pretty electric for you.
Yeah, he certainly is. He's got a nose for the end zone, and you know, to his credit, we held him out of a lot of games in the second half this year, and he could have griped that his numbers could have been a lot better and all that, but all he does is produce for us. He's got such good feet, and you know, at 180 pounds, he's a heck of a lot more powerful than he looks. At one of the goal line runs against Averill Park, he got stuck right at the goal line and just powered in from a kid that was much bigger than him to get it in the end zone right before the half to give us a big score, to give us a nice cushion headed into halftime.
He looks like just an athletic kid. Is he a multi-sport kid?
He is a multi-sport kid. He's a football, basketball, and track guy. So that, you know, Roger, one of the things that's really helped us at Glens Falls is that we've been able to keep those multi-sport athletes playing multi-sports. I know in this day and age of specialization, it's hurt some schools, but I feel really fortunate that we've you do a good job of sharing the athletes up here, and everybody looks at it as a, you know, kind of an honor to play multiple sports.
Well, and you guys, I tell you what, across the board, Glens Falls Athletics is just outstanding. All right, so what is the path here? What is the road to winning a couple of more games and getting to the Dome? I guess it starts with Ogdensburg Free Academy. That's a noon game at Colony, right, Coach?
Yeah, that's right. You know, before I came to Glens Falls, I was at Colony for 5 years, so I'm really excited to get back there. I coached under Mike Ambrosio for those 5 years and worked closely with Greg Barrett, and I became great friends with him, and I'm just really excited to be able to get back there. But looking at Ogdensburg, we played them last year in this game, and we were able to throw the ball on them pretty easily, but you know, I don't think we have that throwing ability that we had last year, and they return 8 or 16 out of their 22 starters with every one of their offensive linemen back and two really good running backs and the ability to do some play action passing too. So I think it's gonna be a really tough game and a really good game.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, I do like our Section 2 teams this weekend, though. I do. I think I would predict wins for a bunch of them, including you. I mean, we got Greenwich in the D game on Friday, and I think they play Mariah, and they've already beaten Mariah 35-0 earlier in the year. So I don't think they're getting beat. I think Neski's got a good shot. You guys, it's when you get to Middletown, then things change a little bit in that semifinal game. But I like Section 2 this weekend. I really do, and I think you guys are fare well. Have you been good defensively too, Pat, this year?
Yeah, you know, Roger, this is the first time since I can remember that, you know, kind of our calling card as a team has been our defense. We've been known for our offense probably for the last 10 or 12 years with a spread offense and kind of scoring a lot of points, but we've been able to hang our head on kind of a swarming and punishing defense. That's really been something that we can lean on, so we're excited about that.
Well, and you're going to like getting back to Colony. They went from arguably the worst facilities in the 518 to now the best facilities in the 518. It's beautiful over there.
I've heard that, and I'm really, really excited that we're going down there. And, you know, it's a short trip for our fans, so we're looking forward to a really good game Saturday.
Yeah. Well, my kid played for Barrett and is now a wide receiver at Ithaca, so he had a good run over there. But you got a beautiful scoreboard that has video on it. You got brand new bleachers. You got brand new concession. They got brand new locker rooms. They got a brand new weight room. They got a brand new basketball court. everything over there is brand new. I'm hearing next year, and I love this move. I'm hearing next year, Pat, that all five of the Super Bowl games, all five, will be played at Colony High School.
Well, I think that's a long time coming, and that would be a great decision for them to do that, to get everybody in one central location.
Yeah, for sure. Well, listen, man, congrats on the season. Keep it rolling. I hope we can maybe do this again next week when we're talking about your matchup in the state semifinals in Middletown.
That would be great, you guys, and I really appreciate you having me on. Like I said, I'm a big fan, and this is exciting for me.
Terrific. Pat,
absolutely,
thank you,
Coach.
So much.
That's
good luck
pleasure.
This weekend.
All right. Thanks,
take
guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Pat Lilac. Can't tell you what. Talk about winning. I mean, the basketball, always strong. The football program.
Yeah.
I mean, Pat Lilac, the job he's done there.
Glens Falls is just, let's just say, is just a winning area. Between the Adirondack Thunder, their high school teams overall, great spot to be. Only
they
an hour
have good,
up the Northwest.
The athletic teams across the board at Glens Falls are always pretty good.
Really, yeah.
And I don't know what Pat Lilac's record is at Glens Falls for as many years as he's been there, but it's darn good. I can tell you that right now. They are Glens Falls football. I mean, even going back to the Joseph Girard III days, he played quarterback. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, those teams were outstanding, and he's got another good one this year. They're undefeated. They'll beat Ogdensburg Free Academy. They'll win that game. They'll win that game. Niski will win. Greenwich for sure will win.
Coach Lynette's Friday confirmed, by the way. He's the last one
to
talk to.
Yeah. I think we're going to have – we could have all five teams. I could see five.
When's the last time that happened?
It wouldn't shock me if every team in Section 2 won a quarterfinal game.
Yeah, Greenwich, Schuylerville, Saratoga, what, Glens Falls, Niskayuna?
I think they all could. I mean, I don't know who has the toughest matchup, but I think Section 2 this weekend wins.
Refresh me again. If they all win, how many more games will they have? Is it one?
So, no, they're two wins away from the Dome. This is the
Got
quarters.
It.
This is quarters.
Got it.
Everybody goes, the winners go to Middletown next week. And then that's right after, the day after Thanksgiving next week, there'll be games in Middletown. See if I can find a photographer to brave the elements and go out there and and get our highlights. Always a chore, but I've already started the process. And then the following weekend, a little bit easier because you're in the Dome for state championships.
Right, which is always wet first week in December.
5th and 6th. So we're at that time. And
then it's basketball.
And basketball, the high school basketball season, there are a good chunk of games that begin the day after Thanksgiving. Dan Levy, who works with me at WNYT, is our one of our top news reporters and has been there for a very long time, is also a high school basketball official, and his first game is the day after Thanksgiving. So there's going to be a crossover between the end of the football and the start of the high school basketball season. All right, time for our NFL picks that will be appearing in the Times Union. Tonight's game is in there as well, and I think everyone except for one picking the Buffalo Bills to take down Houston on the road. Good morning, Pete Doherty. How are you?
Good morning, Roger. I'm doing great. I see you had a good week last week, so I'm sure you're going to want to talk about the standings.
Well, I mean, it was a good week, but I'm still stuck in third.
Well, third's better than seventh, is where I am.
I hear you on that, but I think who's in first? Kyra.
Yeah, Kira. Yeah, Kira's in first.
Kira's rolling
most of the year.
Kira's having an exceptional season. I saw her in a soccer game a few weeks ago. I said, you got to cool off a little bit, but she really hasn't. She's been really good all year. I think she's going to be the front runner here to maybe go start to finish. We'll see how it goes. Big game, James Allen's up there too, right? Number two?
Yes, I think he's number two. He's perennially strong. He's the last one to turn his picks in, so he must really focus on him a lot, but he has the record to back it up.
Yeah. Am I the first to turn my picks in, Pete?
Either you or AJ from Channel 6, I get them both early, and Jackson's pretty early too.
All right.
The other four are kind of straggling at the last minute.
I waste no time. We'll see how it goes this week. I certainly think Buffalo tonight will win in Houston. I mean, the Houston defense is good, but I'll say Buffalo minus 3.5 gets the dub tonight on the road.
Yeah, that's up to 5.5, and I know you and Michael are playing it at 6. I'm giving the points too. My thinking on this is it's the second time this season the Bills have played a backup quarterback. The first time was Carolina, and they beat the Panthers 40-9. So I don't think they're scoring 40 tonight, but I do think they're facing Davis Mills. I think the defense can be respectable, and I think they can move the ball against the Texans. So look for a good game, but yeah, I think the Bills, like I think you said earlier in the show, a 7 or 8 point victory would be fine by them.
All right, onward we go with the rest of it on Sunday. I'll crank out two at a time. Giants plus, I'm just going what is on my sheet from earlier in the week. Giants plus 11.5 at Detroit. Like the Lions here to roll in this game big time over the Giants, although Jackson Dart, I think, will be back at quarterback. And the Jets plus 14 at Baltimore. I like the Ravens here. The Jets will start Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, but I like Detroit and Baltimore to produce wins on Sunday.
I do as well. You know, one of the drawbacks of turning your picks in so early is the lines do change a little bit. The Giants is down to 10.5. I'll still give those points and take Detroit, and the Jets, Baltimore is down to 13.5. Again, I agree with you. I like the Ravens. Teams that are going to the playoffs or in playoff contention this year tend to roll. Obviously, the Giants and Jets aren't going to the playoffs, so I think they'll lie down in the second half, and I think those spreads aren't big enough for them to cover.
I like the Patriots, Pete, -7 at Cincinnati, even though Joe Burrow looks like he will start. That could make that game interesting. And then Pittsburgh +3 at Chicago. I think Aaron Rodgers might try to give this a shot. I took the Bears in that game.
I'm certainly taking New England. I am considering taking the points, though, especially if Joe Burrow plays. I'd like to see what the status is today. He was full participant yesterday, which generally indicates he's probably going to play Sunday. But he doesn't have Ja'Marr Chase, but I'm not sure that's a bad thing. Maybe you know, let some other guys get involved in the offense. If obviously Burrow plays, that could be a high-scoring game, but the Patriots are playing so well right now, I can't see them losing. I'm leaning toward Pittsburgh at Chicago, you know, especially if Aaron Rodgers plays. You know, he owns the Bears. He owns the city of Chicago from his time in Green Bay. He wasn't afraid to tell the fans that. I think if Rodgers plays, I think the Steelers have a shot at this game, and I'm going to take them. If Rodgers, for some reason, doesn't play, I'd probably back the Bears.
Well, maybe I'll change my pick tomorrow if I know for sure that Aaron Rodgers is going to play in that game.
That's not a bad idea. You always have that option to do that. I don't know. I mean, it's a partially broken wrist. You know, it shouldn't affect his throwing, but, you know, if he gets sacked again and lands on that wrist, his season could be done, his career could even be done. So, I don't know. It's a risk that the Steelers probably need to take right now because they're, you know, right on the brink of losing the division lead to the Ravens.
All right, Minnesota, Pete, +6.5 at Green Bay. I like the Vikings to get the road win here. I'm not impressed with Green Bay right now watching them play, even against the Giants. That they barely got by the Giants on Sunday. And then Seattle -12.5 at Tennessee. I like Seattle in this one big.
I'm not sure where you're coming from on Minnesota. I like Green Bay at home. The Packers have struggled a bit lately, but they're so good at home generally. And in Minnesota, I thought would play better against Baltimore and did not. So I like Green Bay, and I think I'd even give the 6.5. Seattle, the line now is 13.5. I think I'd give the points here. The Seahawks are going to bounce back from that tough loss to the Rams. I mean, they should have beaten the Rams, and if it weren't the four times that Sam Darnold got intercepted, they would have won that game. I think they come back and bounce back with a vengeance here. I'll give the 13.5 and take the Seahawks.
Indianapolis, +3.5, huge game for the Chiefs. I think Kansas City is in must-win mode. They're at home. The Chiefs are going to beat the Colts on Sunday. And then I've got Cleveland +3 winning at Las Vegas.
Both interesting games. I agree with you. I like Kansas City. Indianapolis might have a better roster, but the Chiefs are in desperation mode. They don't win this game, I think it's a really good chance they don't even make the playoffs. I think the division title's out of the question now, but can't imagine the Chiefs not making the playoffs. It's a must win. They're at home. I see them winning. I'm struggling with the Cleveland Las Vegas game. I'm leaning toward Las Vegas. You know, I like Shedeur Sanders in college. I thought he'd be a good pro quarterback, and having a full week to prepare, he might be. He's very good at eluding the rush. He's got a live arm. I think he still needs to learn how to read NFL defenses, but that might be a boost for the Browns. I would certainly take the Browns plus the points, but right now I'm going to take Vegas at home to win the game outright.
Jacksonville -2.5 at Arizona. I got the Jags winning on the road, and I got Philadelphia -4.5 winning in Dallas. But a lot of people right now that are with the Eagles, even though they're 8-2 in turmoil, locker room, everyone's griping and a lot of negativity around an 8-2 football team, but I still think they'll be good enough to win in Dallas. Their defense is just too good.
The Jacksonville-Arizona game is interesting because Arizona can be pretty good if they have better ball control, ball possession. They give away the ball too much, but so does Jacksonville. Right now I've got Arizona winning that game at home, even though it doesn't look like Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to play. But I like the way Jacoby Brissett is playing. He set an NFL record last Sunday with 47 completions. So the problem is he threw a couple picks that hurt them, and they lost that game. But I like Arizona at home in this one. Yeah, Philadelphia-Dallas is a doubleheader game. We get to see it 4:25. The line is down to 3.5, and I'm going to take the Eagles to win the game. But I like the additions that the Cowboys made at the trade deadline, and think they're playing better defensively, and they probably have a chance in this game. So I think I'll take those 3.5 points.
All right, final two games of Sunday. And by the way, all these picks that we're going over right now, they'll all be in the Sunday edition of the Times Union. Atlanta -1.5 at New Orleans. I took the Falcons in that game. And Tampa +6.5 at the Rams. I went with the home team, the Rams, to win that game.
Right now, New Orleans is actually favored now by point. I guess they were at the beginning. Anyway. They're favored by 0.5. I like the Saints. Atlanta's a mess right now with injuries, so I don't see them coming back. And I like the Rams at home, even -6.5. It's a lot of points, but it should be a good Sunday night game. the Bucks just they're in such a weak division that I don't think they're going to get pushed that much to win. So they may just start playing to get healthy for the playoffs. And if they win the division, they're guaranteed a home playoff game. So Bucks are in fine shape. They're just not going to win Sunday night.
Monday night to wrap it up on the 24th, Carolina plus 7, Pete, at San Francisco. I like the 49ers.
Who would have thought that Carolina would be in this position at 6-5? But the teams they beat, for the most part, have not been good teams. San Francisco has played pretty well despite the injuries. I like the 49ers at home, and I think I'd give the 7 points in that in this one.
All right, and that'll wrap up. That will wrap up week 12, flying through this NFL season. We'll see how we do, and maybe you can move up a couple of notches in the standings this week, Pete.
We keep trying to try different ways to try to get hot, and can't seem to hold on to anything. But after 25 years, I figured I'd stumble upon something to make this a little bit easier.
Well, we still have an awful lot of fun with it. I may change that Steeler pick if Aaron Rodgers is going to start at quarterback in Chicago, because you bring up a good point. He does own the Bears, and I think if he's out there, and I think he might be, I may switch my pick to the Steelers. I always take Pittsburgh. Why wouldn't I take him this week, right?
Yeah, it's a surprise. Well, you know how to get a hold of me, so you can do that.
All right. Sounds like a plan, Pete. Always a pleasure. Have a great rest of your day. Great weekend.
You too, and I assume we'll do this Wednesday next week.
Wednesday next week.
Wednesday next
week. Yep, we bump everything to Wednesday. You got it.
All right, sounds good.
Thank you, Pete. Pete Doherty, he runs the show when it comes to the NFL picks in the Times Union. And welcome back, Roger Wildin, Michael Johnson Jr., Hunter DePace across the glass, and Freddie Coleman on a Thursday treating us to a little NFL discussion and more. Freddie, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, gentlemen. How's everybody doing this morning?
We're good, man. You're getting ready for a big college football game this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one of the dreams come true. You get a chance to do a game at a place like Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. I'll be on the call on Saturday night starting at 7 o'clock with number 20 Tennessee taking on Florida. It'll be me, Mike Cousins, and Mike Peasley on the sidelines. And I'm really, really excited to have a chance to call a game from the Swamp. So I'm really, really – I'm like a kid on Christmas time. I'm telling you right now, it's like the best toy you could ever get.
Yeah, I mean, that is just a great opportunity to call a big-time game like that. I've never been to the Swamp. And I've been to a lot of big-time college football venues in my time, but never to the Swamp. So that's going to be a lot of fun, Freddie.
Yeah, and especially it's homecoming weekend. It's sold out, even though Florida's having a tough season. They still don't have a head coach. But it's always pretty cool when you have one of your rivals come into your building and they want to try to make this kind of their bowl game when it comes to Florida. You hope that DJ Lagway, the quarterback, is going to play better, and Tennessee wants to continue to move up the college football playoff rankings. So even though Florida's not having the kind of season that they thought they were going to have, still a lot at stake with this game happening on Saturday night.
And what did you make, Freddie, of James Franklin taking the Virginia Tech job?
It was really interesting because Brent Pry was his former defensive coordinator at Penn State, and Brent's dad was James Franklin's offensive coordinator when James Franklin was a quarterback at East Charleston University in Pennsylvania, which is the same conference that my school, Mansfield, was in, the PSAC. And they really wanted James Franklin because I know he's a good coach. Whatever happened at Penn State, those expectations, and they made that move. Hey, they made that move. But he could not have landed a better spot to have that kind of cush at the lead in Penn State where you're in the ACC. Virginia Tech is looking for somebody who's been a proven winner to get them back to where they were when Frank Beamer was the head coach. So I think it's going to be a really situation that's going to work out with James Franklin taking the Virginia Tech job.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great fit for Coach Franklin. He'll do a great job at Virginia Tech. All right, let's get to Week 12, Freddie, of the NFL season. Is this really a must-win for the Chiefs this weekend against the Indianapolis Colts? I mean, Kansas City is a 5-5 team.
Yeah, it feels that way, especially when they're 0-5 in one score games this year after last year when they were 11-0, and including the playoffs, they were 12-0. It does have that must-win feel to it because a lot of people have looked at Kansas City and wondered when was that going to end where they were that team to beat or one of the teams to beat in the AFC. Well, at least for 1 year, that could be coming to fruition right now. And you look at this Chiefs team, and they're just missing on those kind of plays that can change a game. We saw that early on in the first quarter versus the Denver Broncos. We saw that from the defense not keeping Bo Nix from making those kind of completions that he was able to do on that final drive that put them in field goal range to kick the game-winning field goal and take care of that business. Yeah, it has that kind of feel to it. And if you're the Indianapolis Colts and if you're the AFC, the last thing you need is a Chiefs team trying to refine themselves, because if they do, that could be a very dangerous team coming into your building if they get into the playoffs.
Freddie, you take a look at this Patriots team going up against Cincinnati on Sunday. The line's moving down because Joe Burrow practicing could be slated to play on Sunday. Do you think if Joe Burrow's out there playing for the Bengals, this is a game that New England could finally suffer the loss that ends their losing streak?
I don't think so, because put it this way, if Joe Burrow's a full participant Wednesday practice, he's going to play on Sunday. There's no doubt about that. But unless he brings some defensive guys with him, that may not make a difference no matter what he's going to do. And remember, Ja'Marr Chase, he's not going to be out there suspended for one game for that vile act of spitting on Jalen Ramsey last week of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
He'll give them that boost when it comes to Joe Burrow. There's no doubt about that. But if you're the New England Patriots, you've had 10 days that you get a division win against the Jets last week. You get a chance to rest of your body mentally and also rest up yourselves mentally. The way that they've been able to play, they don't play mistake-free football all the time, but it seems like their mistakes don't cost them games ever since they lost the Pittsburgh Steelers and they had those five turnovers. That's the kind of football team that you're going to have to deal with, and you're not bringing any kind of defense that can slow them down. Even Joe Burrow giving them that boost will not be enough, in my opinion, for Cincinnati to find a way to pull the upset.
Jackson Dart, it looks like we'll be back and get the start in Detroit. I don't think that's going to make a huge difference, but can the Giants hang around a little bit, or is this going to be an absolute blowout by the Detroit Lions?
Well, if they play that way for Jackson Dart that we saw versus Chicago when they got the lead and what we saw with Jameis Winston last week, they do stand a chance of trying to beat the Detroit Lions. The Lions are trying to lick their wounds after what happened last week against Philadelphia, where that offense only scored 9 points. I think this football team, the Giants, you know, they're going to be plenty of guys that are going to be playing for jobs because they want to make sure they're going to be employed in the NFL, whether it's by the New York Giants or somebody else next year. But you look at this Giants team and some of the tough losses that they've been able to deal with versus the Denver Broncos, versus the Kansas City Chiefs, versus the Dallas Cowboys, and in the last 2 weeks with the Bears and the Packers, where they were in both of those games and had leads in both of those games. So it may not seem to make a difference with Jackson Dart coming back, but there's one thing you can say about this Giants team. It's going to be 60 minutes of battle. They do not take a step back. They do not give you an inch when you believe you could take it from them. So that is something that whoever the next head coach is going to be with a quarterback in that kind of culture, that's when you can build on and get more players and have better results starting next season.
Freddie, what's with all this hype for the Dallas Cowboys after they only beat the Las Vegas Raiders? I know defensively they looked better, and offensively, you know, George Pickens is looking like an absolute beast that they're going to have to re-sign. Yeah, they played Philly close in the opener, but if you look at the Dallas Cowboys' 4 wins, yeah, the tie against Green Bay, it's against the Commanders, Giants, Jets, and Raiders, who aren't good football teams. How do you think this game's going to go against the Eagles on Sunday for our Cowboys, and do you think the hype is too much?
Well, the hype is always too much of the Dallas Cowboys, whether they win or lose. That's just part and parcel of a deal involving that team being owned by that owner who loves all the flash and the pizzazz. They did look better defensively, but you should look better against that hapless offensive line called the Las Vegas Raiders. Although I'd rather it look like that with Quinnen Williams, DeMarvion Overshown back at linebacker. De'Ron Bland looked really good playing in the secondary. Guys seem to have that kind of energy because they knew that they have defensive personnel that they believe they can compete. But that offense can be very scary. I don't care what defense you have. The only defense that really kind of slowed them down has been the Denver Broncos, where their defense is really good. That's an elite defense. I thought they made too many mistakes against the Arizona Cardinals that they did not make against the Las Vegas Raiders. They have maybe the best wide receiver tandem in the NFL with George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb in terms of a talent standpoint, and you saw they've been able to do, and now they're together all season long. It's not going to be an easy game for Philadelphia. That Cowboys offense is going to present some problems with that young offensive line, that running game, the commitment to it, and those two guys on the outside. If you thought it was a close game week one and it was between those two, I think you should expect the same thing. The Eagles defense is outstanding, but that Cowboys offense is going to make it a problematic situation for the Eagles right now, one of the best teams in football.
Yeah, for sure. I'm 100% behind that. How about Tyrod Taylor starts at quarterback for the Jets this weekend in Baltimore? Does that make any difference at all?
No, it's not going to make any difference. But I think the Jets have let it be known, and let's be honest, Justin Fields has let it be known that he can't be a starting quarterback, maybe not just for this team, but not a quality starting quarterback in the National Football League. The Jets did give him those opportunities, and maybe, just maybe, he's not cut out to be that guy. So you just move on. You cut your losses. You have Tyrod Taylor is your starting quarterback. As long as he doesn't get injured at any point in the regular season, you have to just ride that out. Then whoever your quarterback is going to be next year, whether it's in free agency or you try to trade for a guy like Mac Jones or the San Francisco 49ers, or draft a guy like Fernando Mendoza from Indiana, who seems to be the odds-on choice to be the first quarterback selected in next year's draft. Whoever the starting quarterback for the Jets in 2026 is going to be may not be on their roster right now, but for the remainder of this season, your team just seems to suffer in terms of body language and emotion when Justin Fields, who looks like he can make some plays but doesn't make those layups. You can't afford to have that if you're trying to build what you think you are building the right way in the first year Aaron Glenn being your head coach.
Hey, one more, and that's tonight to kick things off here in Week 12, the Buffalo Bills. I mean, Josh Allen was phenomenal last week. Their defense wasn't, but he was really good. What do you make of Buffalo tonight on the road in Houston?
He's going to have to do that again, because the Houston Texans defense, they will get after the quarterback with Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter. They have maybe the best pair of pass rushers in the National Football League. And the Houston Texans, they're number one scoring defense in the National Football League. So it's very hard to maintain anything against them. If you're the Buffalo Bills, how much can you rely on the Superman act that we saw from Josh Allen last week? Because for my money right now, he's the best player in the National Football League, not just the best quarterback, but the best player in the NFL, what he's been able to do. But man, that's asking a lot. If you think that James Cook can help, and we know that's going to happen, but who else has to better step up from the wide receiver core? Because we know that Superman can do that. That doesn't mean he can do it by himself and try to win a championship. Those days are over in the National Football League. Against that kind of defense, playing on the road on a short week, it's not going to be as easy for him to make those kind of plays that we saw what he was able to do once he had those two early interceptions, and then they pulled that win off against Tampa Bay at home last week.
Fair enough, Freddie. Have a great trip, man, and a great call. We'll all be watching, and wish you nothing but the best of luck, and I know you'll kill it. You'll kill it.
Yeah, I certainly hope so, because if I don't kill it, then ESPN Radio never give me another chance to do something like this again. So I'm going to make sure I do everything I can to be on my P's and Q's, and I'm going to have a blast, and I can't wait to talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, looking forward to recapping all that. Freddie,
thanks so
much for joining us here.
Thanks, Freddie.
My pleasure, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too. That's Freddie Coleman, ESPN Radio, with us here on Big Board Sports this morning. All right, we are back talking Union men's hockey. A lot of good things happening. You know, hockey team is rolling. The football team is into the NCAA tournament. They had a huge weekend. And, things are on the up and up over there in Schenectady. And the head coach is Josh Halgee of the Union men's hockey team. And he joins us every week in this time slot. Coach Halgee, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How about Coach Drock and that football team, though? Big win for them. And
huge.
Excited for them and the opportunity ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. What a turnaround. Yeah. They were 3-7 a year ago, and this year they run the table in the Liberty League and off to the NCAA tournament. That's impressive right there.
Yeah, pretty impressive for that coaching staff and those young men to really turn it back to where it was, and really happy for them.
And you had an impressive weekend yourself, my friend. A sweep last weekend. That never gets old, does it? A sweep in hockey is hard to do. I don't care what the competition is. Go back-to-back and get two wins. That's an impressive weekend for your team.
Yeah, I thought overall it was, as a staff, you can't ask for much more.
No.
And, we were able to score a lot and, not give up too much. So I think in that sense, a lot of positivity.
You gave up what, one goal all weekend?
Yeah. So outstanding goaltending. And really the goal we gave up, it was with the frustrating thing was it was with a minute left on Friday night and we were up 7-0. So would have been nice to get the shutout for Cameron, but overall he was able to do it on Saturday.
Yeah, and if you're not paying attention, it was 7-1 over the University of Massachusetts. That was a Friday at M&T Bank Center, and then the next night you blank the University of New Hampshire 6-0 right there at M&T Bank Center. Were the crowds big on both nights?
Yeah, the crowds have been, virtually a sellout every night. It's been outstanding. They're loud. I mean, it's just such a great area down here. And, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Where did all your offense come from, Coach Algie?
Well, a little different on, you know, Friday night, seven different goal scorers, so everybody was contributing. You know, and then on Saturday, Ben Muthersbaugh had two, and Brandon Beer had a hat trick. So, you know, those guys were kind of leading the charge on Saturday, but really, offense was spread throughout the lineup.
I was going to say, I mean, when you look at your team right now, it's not just one or two providing the O, right? It looks like you've got a number of different guys on any given night, which means you have a lot of depth when it comes to the scoring department.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, when we're trying to build the team, you know, you want to be deep. You want to have a lot of different guys that contribute. You want to make sure that teams, you know, it doesn't matter who's out there. They just kind of feel like it's a wave after wave mentality. And, you know, we always want to be attacking. We want to be on the hunt. And I think you saw a little bit of that this past weekend.
Is this, I know I've asked you this before, but when you look at your roster, is this a mixed bag of veterans and young, or are you, what in terms of the age of this team, where are you at with this group?
Yeah, so it is a little bit of both. You look at our back end, our defense and goaltending, and that would be on the younger side. Up front, we're a little more veteran. So, you know, I think it's nice to have a little bit of both. Like when our young D are making maybe some mistakes, our older veteran forwards are there to kind of bail them out. And then the young guys, like, they just bring energy and they have a lot of fun. So, you know, for those guys that, it's the dog days of the season or whatever, it's nice to have those new guys that are in to bring life.
Are you playing a lot of true freshmen?
Yeah, I mean, we got a, you know, Etienne Lessard is a first year player that for us has been really impactful. Alex Lorenza has done a really nice job for us coming in up front. You know, the local boy Troy Pelton from Clifton Park has done a really nice job. This past weekend, he played both games and did a good job.
That's impressive. True freshman coming in there making an impact right away. That's not easy to do.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty old league, and I mean, everybody in college hockey, you know, you got some guys that are 23, 24 yeah. years old. So, anytime you're coming in and it's your first year, it's a bit of a man's game at times.
All right, so on the road this weekend, Cornell Colgate?
Yep. Yep, so obviously Cornell is a top 20 team, a team that is picked to be near the top of the ECAC every year. Probably the most difficult place to play in the ECAC as far as just the venue and how loud it is. So it's going to be a challenge and, you know, something that we're really excited for. And then you're going to go to Colgate on Saturday. It plays a up-tempo offense, and the game's actually on the SNY network, so it'll be fun, but you know, their students are on break for Thanksgiving, so there'll be not a lot of people there. So really polar opposite as far as teams we're playing and then just even atmospheres.
Well, keep it rolling, man. You're coming off a great weekend. You're in the midst of a really good season here, and I know there's a long way to go, but a lot of buzz around this Union men's hockey program, which is great, and nothing but the best of luck on the road this weekend, Coach Algie.
Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it very much.
Yep, we'll talk this time next week. Have a great one.
All right, you too.
Thanks, care. Josh. That's Josh Algie. They're rolling. They are rolling.
They are. Union Athletics rolling, man.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Drock, get them rolling for the NCAA tournament. I mean, how'd you, man?
Made 7,000 in the neighborhood of 7,000 people at that Frank Bailey Field on Saturday for the football
Dutchman
game.
Dutchman Shoes game is no
then,
joke.
And then was that an afternoon game? They play those hockey games in the afternoon or at night.
It might have been evening, but
sometimes it's a 4 p.m. It's a 4 p.m. drop
like
the puck.
That.
But M&T Bank Center, he said, virtual sellout every single night.
12-1, you outscored New Hampshire and UMass Lowell. I mean, come on, that's no joke right there.
Yeah, no, Algie's built a really good team. They're going to be a very, very tough out. All right, hour number three, we roll into that. We roll into the Albany Cup. The first half is done, and that's the UAlbany women rolling to a win over Siena last night. The second half of the Albany Cup is tomorrow night at MVP Arena between the UAlbany and Siena men's basketball teams. And Coach Colleen Mullen joins us off the top of hour number three on this Thursday. Good afternoon, Coach Mullen.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Coach.
I'm doing great.
Yeah, I
nice
should
to wake
be.
Up a winner.
I don't know. I was looking at areas to be critical of your team just to, so, you know, I couldn't find it. I watched the game start to finish, and I thought that was about as complete a performance on offense and defense as you could have had.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'm just really happy for the players. They really executed the game plan for 40 minutes, and, you know, to hold a team like Siena to, you know, 42 points, I think there's a lot of pride in that, and they have some really great athletes, and they have a really fantastic freshman. But I was just really happy with how our players just executed that defensive game plan. We let our offense come from our defense.
Yeah, and Amaya Stewart, you're going to have to start her at some point.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't want to fix what's not broken. So you're giving us a nice spark.
My colleague, Jack Keys is brand new. I've met Jack. He's my new weekend sports anchor, does a great job. But he came back. He goes, hey, can you tell me why Stewart doesn't start? I don't know. It's just the way it's rolling right now. But, hey, listen, she is if she's going to make 15-foot jump shots for you, that's going to make her even more dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, the whole court opens up for her. And I think she went on her own 10-0 run at one point.
Yeah.
And she was just putting on a show. And she's a great kid, and she works really hard. And so she really just hasn't tapped into her ability yet. She's still learning on the defensive end and understanding our system. And there's a lot to learn here at Albany, like the way that I ask them to even move on defense and the different rotations that we do. So it's a lot to process for her, and just getting used to not being the biggest and the strongest. You know, in high school, you know, that's what she faced. And now it's really how she can expand her game and keep having a growth mindset every game. But she's just going to continue to get better over the season. I'm anxious to see where she's going to be at, you know, come America East play. And you can tell your colleague that she'll probably be in the starting lineup by then, but we'll see. You never know why coaches do what they do.
You're right, exactly. I said, don't worry. Colleen Mullen's one of the best coaches around, so she's got her reasons. Bareilles plays well for you, double-double, 15 and 10, and she's only a sophomore. You got a freshman, and Stewart gets you 17, and then a sophomore that gets you a double-double. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Martina just impacts the game on both ends of the floor. She's 6'1" guard, can rebound, is long, defends. You know, her 3-point shot is much improved from last year, and she's just a kid that plays really, really hard. And anytime she makes any mistakes, you can't fault her because she's doing it, you know, with 100% effort, and she's fully bought into what we're doing. And we had 4 players in double figures and 15 assists on 24 made field goals. It just, you know, when we're moving the ball and sharing the ball, we're at our best. And I certainly think we did that well last night.
Yeah, you shot 44% from 3-point range, coach, and Siena, they were at 16.7%.
Yeah, you know, that we had some pretty, I would say some of them were lucky at the end of the shot clock, some buzzer beaters, which were, you know, not by design, but, you know, players making plays. And I don't really want to talk about it because I'm extremely superstitious, so I'm going to knock on my desk as I'm saying it. But Laura Langerman's been shooting really well, and she's been somebody that we just introduced into the starting lineup. But what, you know, her shooting and is, you know, it's an impressive stat what she's doing and her percentages right now, but she's really bought into what we've asked her to do in terms of taking good quality shots. And I think when she started here, she didn't really know where her shots were coming from, and she's really taken coaching and been able to take really high percentage shots. But her defense has been huge, and she had a big assignment defending Shiro last night and Melius. We really didn't want those players to go off on us last night from the 3-point line. So she did a really good job there. So I had to highlight that. And then Julia Palomo had 6 points.
Yeah.
And she scored her 1,000th point on a 6-point, and it was her birthday. So
I didn't know that.
I know. She scored exactly 6 points to get exactly 1,000 on her birthday on the Albany Cup game. So
oh my goodness.
That was a really extra bonus.
Yeah.
Icing
cool
on top
that
for our team.
And the foreign doubles, Stewart, Bareilles, Langerman, and Delaney Hill. And she's only a sophomore, too.
I know. Yeah, we get some young kids and we get some new kids. And Delaney's just so heady. Yeah, I can't say enough about the way she's been playing and the way she's been leading on and off the court.
Well, to me, I mean, it all starts on the defensive side, and you were just locked in defensively last night right from the get-go. And I think that when you're locked in like that defensively, that spurs on your offense. It really does.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think our goal is always to play fast and score in transition, you know, after really incorporating kind of a new transition last year. A really exciting way to play, but it starts with stops. It starts with defensive rebounds. And Siena was really hitting the glass, which we knew they would, and we were having a hard time stopping them on the offensive rebounds. Even though we were boxing out, we weren't pushing back, and they're so athletic, they can just jump over us. So I thought the players did a much better job, you know, as the game went on, the end of the first quarter, second quarter, of really pushing back and limiting them so they weren't able to capitalize you know, on those second chances. Much different than the storyline of last year, where it was just, you know, our team, we were so sluggish.
Yeah.
We had a really hard time, you know, handling their speed. We just didn't look like ourselves. So it was nice to get the cup back here and defeat a really good team in Siena.
All right, you're on the road at St. Bonaventure. Can you get a win in Olean?
Yeah, you know, I think they're playing really well. They're undefeated right now, so they're much improved from last year. One of our former players, Lacey Drake, is their leading scorer right now, so she transferred there for her last year. So luckily we have the scouting report on her. We know what she does, but she's a terrific player. So and they have pretty much an entirely new team. I think they only returned two players from last season, so they have some pretty good wins under their belt, defeated Binghamton, defeated, you know, a couple of other common opponents that we've had. So we got our work cut out for us, but we need some confidence to get to win on the road. We've had two really difficult opponents in Syracuse and URI. So now it's, you know, a team in St. Bonaventure where hopefully we can be 10 points better and get that road win under our belt that this young team needs.
Well, and in the meantime, enjoy the win from last night. They, you know, you always hop to the next one so fast, but that was a really good performance by your team. So hopefully you had a couple cold beverages after that game last night, Coach.
Well, yeah, got to hit the pub, you know.
You got to do it.
Danny, and hopefully we can celebrate, you know, a victory for the men and get both cups here on Friday night.
We'll see. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that game. Congrats on the win, Coach Mullen. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thanks, Coach.
That's Colleen Mullen, head coach of Albany women's basketball team, getting it done big time last night. That was really not even close.